Samaveta Bhakta Vindigajaya, Go Premanandi. All glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to the Sama devotees, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Ramana. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna Sagurle, Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Namane, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharana, Nirvishesha, Shinivani, Pasadi, Devi, Gauravani, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nishinanda, Sivari, Gadara, Shri Siva Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 4, Chapter 9, Verse 55.
Stanabhyam,
Sushrava,
Sushrava,
Netrajai,
Netrajai,
Salilai,
Salilai,
Shivai,
Shivai,
Chata,
Chata,
Abhisichyamanabhyam,
Abhisichyamanabhyam,
Vira,
Vira,
Vira, Slo,
Vira, Slo,
Mugu,
Mugu,
Payastanabhyam, Sushrava,
Payastanabhyam, Sushrava,
Jai Salilai Shivai.
Nitra Jai Salilai Shivai.
Tada Vishichyamana Vyam.
Tada Vishichyamana Vyam.
Vira Vira Subomuhu.
Vira Vira Subomuhu.
Vira Vira Svomuhu.
seated on the back of a she elephant. Then he returned to his capital, where he praised all classes of men. Where he was praised by all classes of men. The whole city was decorated with columns of banana trees, containing bunches of fruits and flowers, and betel nut trees with leaves and branches were seen here and there. There was also many gates set up, which were structured to give the appearance of sharks. Purport, auspicious ceremonies and decoration, the green leaves of palms, coconut trees, betel nut trees, and banana trees, and fruits and flowers, and leaves are an annual custom in India. To receive his great son, Dhruva Maharaj, King Uttanapada arranged a good reception. All the citizens were enthusiastic and took part in the great jubilation. At each and every gate, there were burning lamps and big water pots decorated with differently colored flags, strings of pearls, flower garlands, and hanging mango leaves. In the capital street, there were many palaces, city gates, and surrounding walls, which were already very beautiful, and on this occasion, all of them were decorated with golden ornaments. The domes of the city palaces glittered, as did the domes of the beautiful airplanes, which hovered over the city. Regarding the mention of airplanes, here it is suggested by Sri Vijayavajatirtha that on this occasion, the demigods from higher planetary systems also came in the airplanes to bestow their blessings on Dhruva Maharaj on his arrival at the capital of his father. It also appears that all the domes of the city palaces, as well as the pinnacles of the airplanes, were decorated with ornamental work of gold, and being reflected by the sunshine, they were all glittering. We can observe a special distinction between Dhruva Maharaj's time and modern days, for the airplanes in those days are made of gold, whereas at the present time, airplanes are made of base aluminum. This just gives a hint of the opulence of Dhruva Maharaj's days and poverty of modern times. In 57, all the quadrangles, lanes, the streets of the city, and the raised sitting places of the crossings were thoroughly cleansed and sprinkled with sandal with water, and auspicious grains such as rice and barley, and flowers and fruits, and many other auspicious presentations were scattered all over the city. Thus, as Dhruva Maharaj passed on the road, from every place in the neighborhood, all the gentle household ladies assembled to see him. Not of material affection, they offered their blessings, showering him with white mustard, barley, curd, water, newly grown grass, fruits, and flowers. In this way, Dhruva Maharaj, while hearing the pleasing songs sung by the ladies, entered the house of his father. Dhruva Maharaj thereafter lived in his father's palace, which had walls bedecked with highly valuable jewels. His affectionate father took particular care of him, and he dwelled in that house just as the demigods live in their palaces in the higher planetary systems. The bedding in the palace was as white as the foam of milk and was very soft. The bedsteads were made of ivory with embellishment of gold, and the chairs, benches, and other sitting places and furniture were made of gold. The palace of the king was surrounded by walls made of marble, with many engravings made of valuable jewels like sapphires, which depicted beautiful women with shining jewel lamps in their hands. Purport description of King Uttanapada's palace depicts the state of affairs many hundreds and thousands of years ago, long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Since it is described that Maharaj Dhruva ruled for 36,000 years, he must have lived in the Satyuga when people lived for 100,000 years. The life duration in the four yugas is also mentioned in the Vedic literature. In the Satyuga, people used to live for 100,000 years, in Treta Yuga, they lived for 10,000 years, in Dwarpa Yuga, they lived for 1,000 years, in Kali Yuga, people may live for 100 years. With the progressive advance of each new yuga, the duration of human life is reduced by 90%, from 100,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to 1,000, 1,000 to 100. It is said that Dhruva Maharaj was the great grandson of Lord Brahma. This indicates that Dhruva Maharaj's time was in such yuga, the beginning of the creation. During one day, Lord Brahma has stated in Bhagavad Gita that there are many Satyugas. According to the Vedic culture, at the present time, the 28th millennium is current. We calculate that Dhruva Maharaja lived many millions of years ago. By the description of the palace of Dhruva's father is so glorious that we cannot accept that advanced human civilization did not exist. Even 40 or 50,000 years ago, there were walls like those in the palace of Maharaja Uttanapada. Even very recently, during the Mughal period, anyone who has seen the Red Fort in Delhi must have marked that the walls are made of marble and were once decorated with jewels. During the British period, all these jewels were taken away and dispatched to the British Museum. The conception of worldly opulence was formerly based mainly on natural resources such as jewels, marble, silk, ivory, gold, and silver. The advancement of economic development was not based on big motor cars. Advancement of human civilization depends not on industrial enterprises, but on possession of natural wealth and natural food, which is also blind by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we may save time for self-realization and success in the human form of life. Another aspect of this verse is that Dhruva Maharaj's father, Uttanapad, would very soon give up attachment for his palaces and would go to the forest for self-realization. From the description of Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, we can make a very thorough comparative study of modern civilization and the civilization of mankind in other millenniums, up to you, the Chaitanya Yuga and Dwarpa Yuga. My dear Vidura Suniti was the mother of a great hero. Her tears, together with the milk flowing from her breast, wet the whole body of Dhruva Maharaj, which is the greatest virtuous sign. So these verses merely describe the welcome given to Dhruva when he returned from the forest. So in the previous verse it was mentioned that his father welcomed him, his brother, his stepmother, and in this verse his mother welcomed him with her tears and milk from her breast. And then Dhruva returns to the city and is welcomed there. And then he's kept in the palace by his father. And then there's a big description of all the details of that palace, what it looked like. And we will see similar descriptions in other places of the palaces used by the kings of that time. So as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, Dhruva was the great-grandson of Brahma, which means Brahma produced Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu had Uttanapada and Priyavrata. Sons, Uttanapada had Dhruva as a son. Swayambhuva Manu is the first Manu in the day of Brahma. And so, of course, even then, all these persons lived a long period of time. Our present Manu is the seventh Manu, Vaivasvata Manu. And he's the son of Vivasvan. So 7 times 71 yuga cycles. So that's a long period of time. 71 yuga cycles, 71 times 4 million. And multiply that by 7. So we get the time difference between Dhruva's appearance, more or less, and the present day. So we are halfway. On halfway, maybe a third of the way through the day of Brahma, a third of the Vaivasvata Manvantara, 28 cycle out of 70. And Dhruva appeared somewhere near the beginning of Vaivasvata Manvantara, since he was the grandson of Brahma, and there was only 2 generations between Swayambhuva Manu and himself. So he was somewhere near the beginning of that whole day. So the distance between Dhruva and the present day is a huge amount of millions of years. A very, very great distance, or time period. So we cannot imagine life during those times. Now, of course, there's cycles of time. So within one Manvantara, we'll have 71 times to get Kali Yuga. So there's great destruction. Each time we go from Satyuga to Kali Yuga, Satyuga to Kali Yuga, 71 times in one Manvantara period. So there's lots of destruction taking place. And then after the end of the Manvantara, there is some sort of devastation again. And so after Swayambhuva Manvantara, the next Manvantara, all those Manvantaras, and the big floods, etc., as we see after Chakshusha Manvantara, the big flood. And then Satyabhata was saved, and he became Vaivasvata Manu, our present Manu. So there are great changes taking place within the earth at all times. So it is impossible for us to trace back more than a few million years. Can I trace back to Satyayuga, the last Satyayuga, which was maybe 4 million years ago. So this is only in one Manvantara. So civilization appears repeatedly and is replenished after each Kali Yuga and during each Manvantara period. Sometimes the species are all wiped out. So in Chakshusha Manvantara, the species were depleted, so Daksha had to repopulate again. So great changes take place at all times in the day of Brahma, between the yugas and between the yuga cycles and between the manvantaras. There are great changes. And of course, the day of Brahma again, at the night time, everything gets destroyed, merges into Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then everything comes out again in the next day. So there is always change taking place. The history told here is over a huge expanse of time. So Dhruva appeared at the beginning of the day of Brahma. And the Lord appeared as Krishnagarbha or Dhruva Priya. That form of the Lord appeared at this time also at the beginning of the day of Brahma. So we see that many of the avatars appear within Swayambhuva Manvantara. So we get an appearance of Matsya and Varaha, and here's the Krishnagarbha form, and Kapila, who was described previously, Dattatreya, and others. In spite of the fact that changes are always taking place, the Lord also always appears. And he actually appears in every yuga cycle as a yuga avatar. And he appears in every Manvantara as a Manvantara avatar. So at all times, despite of the changes taking place, the Lord makes his appearance to protect the population of the earth, all the planetary systems, to protect Dharma, and ultimately to propagate bhakti. So in this way, the Lord takes care of everyone. So in this case, the Lord appeared and he protected Dhruva and ensured his bhakti, and of course protected the earth by having him rule over the kingdom for 36,000 years. So in this way, the Lord takes care of all the people during all these different periods with all the different changes that may take place. Why do all the changes take place? This is the influence of time. Time means change. Change is part of the nature of the material world, built into the material world. Its swabhava or its nature is change. So time stimulates change. So there's going to be change all the time. And it's going to be destruction all the time. So therefore, to counteract that, the Lord is the maintainer. So he always comes and he restores Dharma, he restores bhakti, he restores the situation, protects the planetary systems, etc. So these stories will illustrate that. So here we have the story of Dhruva, how he was protected by the Lord. And there's of course the story of the Chaitas, other stories in the fourth canto as well. Our years. No, our years. Our years.
At least Vrindavan Das are
different persons may take the role of someone, different personalities. Like we have Krishna coming, and then Lord Chaitanya coming. So they're not the regular Yuga avatars. Usually the regular ones are not Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya. But once in the day of Brahma they make an appearance. Otherwise, the other forms, the white, the red, the Shama, and the Krishna are all coming.
Yeah.